1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk, is proud to bring you The Rick Chamberlain Show. The Rick Chamberlain Show is brought to you by
Bud Light, America's favorite light lager. Milano's Pizza Subs and Taps, creating delicious memories since 1969. On Brown Street, near the University of Dayton campus, Premier Health is proud to be the official healthcare provider for UD Athletics. Learn more at premierhealth.com/sportsmed. And by Logan AC and Heat Services, the official heating and cooling partner of the UD Flyers, helping fans stay comfortable all season long.
Here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hansgen, and University of Dayton head football coach, Rick Chamberlain.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Milano's on Brown Street. Welcome back to another edition of the Rick Chamberlain Show. As the Dayton Flyers are now 3-2 on the season, they are 2-1 in the Pioneer Football League, coming off a 28-10 win over Drake, home this week to host Marist. A lot to talk about tonight. Here on the show, we've got two members of this Flyer football team that we'll get to know a little bit more. Although they've been on the show before, it's just been a while. We got two, I guess they would be redshirt freshmen now, juniors in school. But with the COVID year and everything, redshirt freshmen, wide receiver Kyle Hazel out of Indiana, and then also linebacker Nathan, in my mind just went Nathan Arthur, out of St. Xavier High School in Cincinnati. And we're going to get to know about them coming up again, get an update. We talked to them 2 years ago, but, hey, a lot happens between now and then. Mm-hmm. Saturday, Coach, a win, 28-10. No such thing as a bad win, but, boy, this one had, had some style points to it.
It did, Larry. It was a very good game for us. It might have been our best overall game when you talk about defense and offense and some special teams there, big plays that we had there. And against a really good team on the road. We hadn't won on the road yet. We lost our first two road games. And so to go into Drake, and they had just won the week before, and they were playing very well. And to go in and really kind of control the game from the get-go, that was a good feeling.
First time this season you've not been behind. You have trailed in all your previous games at some point in time, and usually in the first quarter, but you draw first blood. And just, you know, you took advantage of a mistake they made. But getting that first score, getting that first lead, what did that do for your team?
I mentioned last week, Larry, when we were talking there just before the game, about we had to get off to a fast start. We had to have a good start. We couldn't fall behind, because that would kind of been the pattern the last few games there. And we battled there in the first quarter, and then on a special team play with the snap going over the punter's head and our players reacting in the right way and Caron Coleman picking up the ball and going in for a touchdown, that gave a big spark, a big lift to everybody. We were playing well up to that point. We knew it was going to be tough to move the ball on Drake because of their outstanding defense, but our defense was playing well. And it was back and forth, but that kind of really gave us a punch there to really gave us momentum then throughout the first half.
You know, then after that initial score, your offense gets one, and Jack Cook's able to take it in from 5 yards out to complete the drive. And I swear that Jack did the ultimate fake on that. He acted as if he was not going to run.
Right.
And the defense just froze. They were looking at him. He wasn't really, you know, you didn't tuck the ball under and say, like, I'm heading for the goal line. He just kind of just headed in that direction, and the defense is still trying to defend the pass.
It was such a good fake. It faked me out, Larry. I'm standing on the sideline, and I thought, is he going to run? Because I didn't think he was, and I was screaming, run, run. But Jack had it all under control. He knew what he was doing and got into the end zone to put us up 14-0.
And then you start the second quarter, and for the first time you had to deal with poor field position because you're going to start on your four-yard line. And I said on the broadcast, I said, boy, wouldn't it be great to put together a 96-yard drive right now? It's exactly what this team needs. Lo and behold, you did.
That's what we did. And with crucial plays, third down plays, Kyle here was a part of that there, just being able to maintain a drive. Because, again, going into the game, I said we needed to have sustained drives. We couldn't go three and out, let that defense control us. And our offense, I thought, Larry, that part of the game was the most important part of the game. There were good plays that other before and after it, but that 96-yard drive, the time it consumed, the execution that it did, it really, I thought, led us to a victory there.
Gabe Dayton, a 21-0 lead that could have been more had a drive not stalled with an interception in the end zone right before at halftime. But even after Drake came out in the second half and was able to get on the board, you maintained your composure.
We did. I mean, we were ahead 21-0, and then they put together a drive, and we made a couple mistakes with penalties and put them in a position there inside the 10. But we held. We held, and they had a costly penalty, which forced them to kick a field goal. And so that was a win for them to get inside the 10 and for us to hold them to a field goal. So it's 21-3, and so we still feel very confident in where we were standing at that point.
Flyers go on to a 28-10 win over the Drake Bulldogs, and we'll get inside the numbers of that. But, again, we had these guys on when they were just freshmen and learning the ways of college football, the ways of college life, and at that time scout team members and now contributors to a Big Dayton victory on Saturday. Let's get to know them all over again or refresh your memory. First of all, Kyle Hazel, a junior now but considered to be a redshirt freshman football-wise at the University of Dayton. Out of West Lafayette, Indiana, tell us about your high school background, Kyle, and what brought you to Dayton.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be here. I had excellent football tradition back at West Lafayette, 15-0 state champions my senior season. That kind of showed me winning culture, and that's also what drew me to Dayton. They have a long, rich tradition of history in terms of being great in football, being great as a university, and that's kind of what drew me here.
All right. And what was the – when you, is there any one aha moment when, okay, you thought this is where I want to go that you just knew this is definitely where I want to go?
It was almost the moment I stepped on campus when I came here for a visit back in the fall of my senior year. It was just something that I almost fell in love almost instantly when I was just walking around, looking in the community, got to talk with the coaches. It was almost instant, honestly.
And then we got alongside Nathan Arthur out of St. Xavier High School in Cincinnati. Tell us about your high school background, Nate, and what brought you to UD.
Well, St. X is a lot like UD. And a lot of tradition, and it's a winning program. And Coach Speck kind of – he had all good things to say about Dayton, and he kind of sold me on it. And when I came up here for my visit, I really liked it.
And there's been a lot of guys – now, you had some either former teammates or even current teammates who you went to high school with who also made that decision.
Yeah, Cam – I talked to Cam a few times when I was thinking about coming here, and he had all good things to say, and – I know there's been guys before him, and it's kind of a long line of bombers that come to UD.
And Rick, that's something you've tapped in through the years.
Yes, most definitely. And the reason is, Larry, we like to get young men from programs like Nate was talking about who know how to win, what it takes to put together not just a season here and there, but consistently what do you have to do year-round to be winner. And St. Xavier is definitely one of those schools.
And then you got Kyle coming off of a state championship year, a bit of a football pedigree as well in his background. Did that make him an even more attractive candidate for you?
Most definitely. We love to have coaches' sons. And Kyle's father, very successful college coach, coached in the pros. And when I asked him, when he kind of stepped away from the pro ranks, and I talked to him there, I said, hey, you know, there's always a spot for you here if you want to have use some of your time. And he told me, he said, Coach, I just made a commitment. When I stepped away, I'm going to take a few years off just to watch Kyle. And I said, I understand there.
I think, Kyle, would you rather your dad was watching you or blowing a whistle at you?
There's two sides to that coin, but I'm happy with him in the stands.
All right. Hey, we got lots more to learn about Kyle and Nathan. A lot to look back on that very solid performance. And what a difference a week makes. We've got more to come. It's the Rick Chamberlain Show. We're live at Milano's on Brown Street.
The Rick Chamberlain Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. You're listening to The Rick Chamberlain Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
Hey, welcome back to Milano's here on Brown Street, your home of the Rick Chamberlain Show, Monday nights. The best place for you to go following a Saturday game or catch NFL games on Sunday or any day through the week for a great dinner. Hey, great place for lunch. Always great food. You know it. You love it. It's Milano's, and we're glad to be here on this Monday night. Flyers in the coming off a 28-10 win at Drake on Saturday, and I'm very remiss that it's taken me this long in the program to bring up the fact that Jake Chisholm was named the Pioneer Football League Offensive Player of the Week. I guess I just assumed it would happen after he walked off the field Saturday with 144 yards rushing. And I think 22 yards through the air and another 22 yards in kick returns, two touchdowns, zero fumbles, not even a wobble, and literally put the team, I felt, on his back in the second half of the game.
He did, Larry. And that fourth quarter, too, especially, those two or three drives we had, Jake was carrying the ball. And because we wanted to keep the clock moving, and so the way you do that is not by putting the ball in the air and having possible incompletions to stop the clock, but you still want to get the first downs, and that's what Jake was doing. And this was the best Jake's looked this season, and I think he's feeling much better physically, because those first few games were against some pretty physical defenses there, Southern Illinois and Eastern Illinois and Moorhead, and I really think that he was taking some hits there, and his legs weren't as crisp as he normally is. And he did. He told us this was the best he felt going into the Drake game.
His performance and the way at times he just willed himself forward and just, you know, in essence put a team on his back, it reminded me, because we were there at Drake, and it was like, oh, I've been here before, I've seen this before. Back in about 2001, Jermaine Bailey did the same type of thing where it was just, give me the ball, don't worry, I'll take care of it.
Take care of it. And I think that game, I think Jermaine carried the ball like 38, 40 times that whole game there. And that's what Jake, and what I liked about Jake was he was making people miss. And that's what was, I thought, missing in his skill that he's shown these first few games. He was making people miss him with those sharp cuts. And then at the same time, just being able to physically and strength-wise run over people and drag people and not go down with the first hit.
What's it say about your offensive line that going into a game in which Drake's whole defensive game plan is just to plug the middle, force everything to go wide, that you were able to run between the tackles?
We were, and that was a great lesson for our offensive line to show what they can do against a very good defensive line, because Drake, they may have the best defensive front when you include their linebackers and their front four in the whole PFL. And for our offensive line, a young offensive line that is growing each week, to go in there and perform like they did, and especially we had one young man, Connor Muck, made his first start at offensive guard. Coach Hendershot, he knew it was going to be a physical game, just one-on-one a lot. And Connor, that's his style. He's a backup tackle, but Josh moved him into the guard position over those big tackles that they had in there, and it paid off.
Yeah, the Dayton Flyers getting the win 28-10, best defensive performance of the season by far. Pretty solid offensive performance as well. And I want to talk to Kyle Hazel, a wide receiver who had four catches in the game, including a couple of big catches on third down to keep drives alive. You hear the term offensive rhythm. And at times we've seen bits and pieces of it. Did you guys feel like you got into a rhythm on Saturday?
Absolutely. I think we're still working up to our full potential, but we definitely hit our stride. Coach Collins has done a great job putting us in a position to succeed. I feel like we've gotten better each week as the season has gone on, and hopefully we continue to rise and peak later in the season.
Well, I mentioned the best defensive performance and one of the better, if not the best, offensive performance, and a guy who's involved in almost every special teams is Nate Arthur, who's with us. And Nate, there again, you guys made things happen. Of course, obviously, you didn't make the guy snap the ball over the punter's head, but you guys were opportunistic, but didn't give up anything in special teams on kick returns, punt returns, and Sam was able to make all his kicks too.
Yeah, I think guys just gave a great effort this week. Like, we go out there and we try to do our jobs, and I think we give more effort than the other team, and I think it pays off.
The pride in special teams and the fact that the coaches, they put so much emphasis on it. Does that inspire you? I mean, is there an esprit de corps when you guys are out there that hey, we're not just special. We are special teams. It's the third leg of the stool. Does that get you guys jacked up?
Yeah, I'd say so. Because there's a lot of guys on our team that are on a lot of special teams. So you're going out there with like a lot of the same guys every single special teams, and you go out there and like, let's do this. Mm-hmm. Let's get it done.
And then, of course, you got your special teams captain, Joe Bubonics, and I'm sure he's always got some words of advice for everybody.
Oh, yeah. He's always trying to fire everybody up.
Well, another storyline from the game on Saturday, Coach, in addition to the things we just talked about, and obviously the stellar performance of Jake Chisholm at running back, I'm looking at the stat sheet, and on third downs, Drake was 3 of 13. On fourth downs, they were 1 of 6, which, let's just say, when it came time to move the chains, they were 4 out of 19. So that's less than 25%.
Yes.
That is getting it done when you consider a lot of those were a fourth and short.
Yes. A number of them were fourth and two. And to stop Drake, who has a huge offensive line and a really good big back there, that our defense coach, Overman, I thought he had a game plan that was really dialed in. And so when they were going for those short yardage plays, he really had a good understanding what we needed to do. And then the players executed it, made tackles, plugged holes, pushed the pile back. And a couple of them, I thought, at first I said, are you going to measure? Because I thought maybe it was close enough that they were going to give him first down, and the official would turn to me and say, no, coach, the other way.
In addition to that, you know, this on defense, you just did such a great job. And did you make them one-dimensional in the second half, where they really had to almost abandon that running game?
That was our game plan. We really did. We knew the strength of their offense was their running game, with their offensive line, with their running back, with their quarterback. And we felt like we had to stop that, force them into something that they did okay, but it was not the strength of their offense. And so we were able to do this. And I think it really discouraged them from running. And then plus with our offense grinding out and using a lot of clock and so forth, they had to find ways to try to move the ball as quickly as possible, which reverted to their passing game. And for the most part, we did a really good job with that.
Yeah, you got a Drake team that struggled on third down, 3 of 13, while Dayton, on the other hand, 7 out of 14, 50%. That'll win you some ball games, and it did on Saturday, a 28-10 victory. But a lot of football to be played, including this Saturday. Marist will talk about the Red Foxes, and we'll learn more about Kyle Hazel and Nathan Arthur. A lot to come as we continue on the Rick Chamberlain Show, live at Milano's on Brown Street.
The Rick Chamberlain Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. You're listening to The Rick Chamberlain Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
Hey, welcome back here to Milano's on Brown Street, and welcome back to The Rick Chamberlain Show. Flyers are 3-2 overall. They are 2-1 in the Pioneer Football League. And they get to take a shot at one of the three. There are three teams that have yet to lose in league play. Morehead State, which is 2-0 after, of course, the win over Dayton. They beat Presbyterian this past Saturday. Davidson, the defending league champs from the spring, are also undefeated in league play, as is Marist, who will come in to Welcome Stadium. And a reminder that the game is going to kick off at noon. Mm-hmm. It is an hour earlier, so it's a noon kickoff on Saturday. And that's to accommodate Marist's flight getting out of town afterwards. But we're going to talk about the Red Foxes here just in a little bit. But, you know, the race is shaping up as we thought it would be, Rick. And, the case, and what's great about that is that not just the Flyers, but everybody in the league can wake up on Saturday morning and play a meaningful game.
That's right. As the season progresses, because it's not going to be decided within the first 3 weeks of the conference play. It's going to, Larry, I know it will, it'll go down to that last game of the season for whoever it is that's competing for that championship. And there'll be a lot of teams going into these last five weeks here, that'll really believe they have a chance to win the conference, and I would think so also.
Kyle Hazel is with us, a member of a very young receiving corps. I mean, coming in to this season, I don't know if any of the wideouts had a catch. The leading returning receiver, I do believe, was tight end Andrew Holderer, who had, I think, two catches in college. So you guys are all brand new, but I'm here to tell you, I will attest to the fact that your coach here in the summer told me you guys were a great group and that this receiving core was going to do some great things. How have you guys grown up through these first five games?
Yeah, absolutely. Not a lot of experience in the room going into the season, but we're a competitive group and we're hungry to get better. So, I mean, we pushed each other all through camp, a lot of people competing for a handful of spots, and I think that kind of elevated, that level of competition elevated the whole group as a whole. And over the past 5 weeks, I think the improvement on the field has shown as well.
Not just catching the ball. I pay attention. I hope the fans are, to the way you guys block.
Yeah, absolutely. There's more to being a receiver than just catching the football. We love to help the team in all phases, whether that's blocking, catching, really anything. So I feel we've grown as a group together. We've become a tight group and in all phases.
You know, Nate Arthur, in addition to being on all the special teams, you're also in that linebacker room with, guys, some veterans there like Ben Schmiesing, who's a grad student, and Grant Dyer and Danny Meehan and Shane Ferrick. So there's a lot of veteran guys in that group. But you've been around that room for the last couple of years. How far have you seen that linebacker core come, not just from previous years to this year, but even through this season?
I think we've really gotten better. You know, my freshman year, we had our struggles, and this year coming in with, like, great senior leadership and just holding guys to a higher standard, guys really know their stuff and, like, know their responsibilities and have been getting better every week.
Rick, where has that linebacker group made their strides?
I tell you, Larry, the last two games have been their best. It really has. And what I really feel that they've really gotten better at is having a feel for where they fit, where they're supposed to be on run and passes. They're not just out there running. Sometimes a linebacker, they can get locked in on where's the ball, and they start running where the ball is and not where they fit into the defensive scheme. That's where I think the last 2 weeks we've gotten much better at. We fit where we're supposed to be.
You're playing a lot of guys at linebacker. Obviously, you're playing a lot of wide receivers. You're playing a lot of people on the defensive line. Right now, midway through this season, is your strength in numbers?
It is. At those positions, the offensive line, we only got about 5-6 guys there that were rotating in. But the strength of the wide receivers, the linebackers, the D-line, like you said. In the secondary, we've got a few guys like Matt Linty, who has been in a few times now. And our corners that we rotate through there. That really can make your team even better than just the talent that you have, because you keep them fresh. And plus, it gives the opponent a different look from those positions there. Those guys are going to play that position, their position, a little different than maybe the guy that was in before.
You know, this Dayton team is growing. Do you feel like you have your best football still ahead of you?
We do. A goal for us the last 2 weeks especially. We didn't get it in the Moorhead game, but I thought we came really close with Drake, and that is playing consistently for four quarters and not having ups and downs. Just play at a level that we know we can play at and execute. And for the most part against Drake, we did that. And that's what we're looking forward to. I feel like we can build upon that now going into these conference games here that we have left.
All right, your big conference game coming up on Saturday. Well, they all are. Okay, let's be honest, folks. There's no such thing as a conference game that is insignificant, especially in the PFL. And you'd be hard-pressed to find any conference in all of college football where a league game doesn't matter a whole lot. That's the case this Saturday. Flyers hosting Marist at noon. We'll learn more about the Red Fox as they come in from Poughkeepsie, New York. And we're also going to get an update on what's happening with Kyle Hazel as a football player on the field and off the field. The same for linebacker Nathan Arthur. We've got a lot still to cover. We're going to get to it in a bit. It's the Rick Chamberlain Show, and we're live at Milano's on Brown Street.
The Rick Chamberlain Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. You're listening to The Rick Chamberlain Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
Hey, welcome back here to Milano's on Brown Street, your home of The Rick Chamberlain Show, Monday night, 7 to 8. Dayton Flyers are 3-2, 2-1 in the Pioneer Football League. Coming off a 28-10 win over Drake, they host Marist in a noon kickoff Saturday. Game has been moved back an hour, so if you had an old schedule that says 1, now, if you show up at 1, you're going to miss a lot of football because the game kicks off at noon on Saturday. And two key members of this Dayton football team are with us here tonight. We talked to them 2 years ago when they were contributing, but they were contributing on scout team. Now they're out there on the field on Saturday. Wide receiver Kyle Hazel out of West Lafayette. And again, Kyle, maybe you've changed majors since 2 years ago. What is your major at the University of Dayton?
I'm a marketing major.
Okay, with the thought of doing what?
Well, I would love to get into coaching. I'd love to follow in my dad's footsteps. I talked to a handful of his former players this summer, and I've just seen the impact that he can have on people. And just through coaching, and obviously I love the game of football, so I just think I have a lot of cool opportunities to experience that as well.
High school ranks, college, or whatever?
I would love to be in college. That's where my dad spent a majority of his time coaching. That's what I know the best, but obviously I'm open to anything in terms of a career.
All right. When you're not in the classroom, in the weight room, on the practice field, what's Kyle Hazel do for fun?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I have a lot of interests. I'll play video games. I actually enjoy chess. So those are two of the big ones.
Now, do you have an opponent on the team that you regularly square off with?
I do. My roommate, Jason Core, we play chess a decent amount, so that's fun. We're pretty even, so it's
all right.
It's enjoyable.
But you keep running, you keep track, right?
Of course.
Absolutely. Also with us, we got linebacker Nathan Arthur from St. Xavier High School. And like Kyle, we talked to him 2 years ago when he was a freshman and on the scout team. Now out there on all the special teams for Dayton, and it'll be a big part of Saturday's contest against Marist. When you're not in the film room, the weight room, the classroom, the practice field. Well, first of all, what's your major? I got ahead of myself. What's your major?
I'm a finance major.
Finance major. So does the world of big business beckon you at this point in time?
I'm not quite sure where we want to go with it yet, but we're exploring it.
Okay. So what have been some classes that really resonated with you that said, wow, it didn't even have to be anything in finance. Maybe it had something that had nothing to do whatsoever with your major.
I mean, finance class now, is this resonating? And, you know, econ classes always kind of resonated with me and kind of in the same family and both applied to with each other, so.
Okay. So when you're not in an econ or finance classroom and all the other things I mentioned, when you just want to have fun, what's Nathan Arthur do?
Well, I'm a big outdoorsman. I like to go fish, you know. I spend a lot of time researching cars and learning about automobiles. I got big interest in that, or just hanging out playing video games.
Now, when you say interest in cars, I mean, you want to be under the hood, or you just want to look at them and drive them?
Oh, both.
Oh, both. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I have to remember that when I have any car problems,
yeah.
Nate.
Yeah. You probably don't want to give away your secret spots, but what's one of your favorite places to fish locally?
I actually like to go up Mad River. So it's it's a little bit away north of here, but they have trout fishing there, and I like to fly fish, and it's one of the few spots in Ohio, so I like to get out there when I can.
Okay. Well, I'll get you hooked up with Coach Kelly because he's he is an avid fisherman indeed. And I don't know if he's a fly fisherman, but he can show you some. He can take you some places to show you some spots. Mm-hmm. All right. So we've learned a lot more about these guys away from football. Now our focus comes back to the gridiron and specifically Saturday's opponent, Marist. Obviously, a team that's playing well right now, undefeated in league play. What else can you tell us about the Red Fox?
And Larry, what you said there, I think it really describes them well. They have gotten better as the seasons went along. I really feel that they were figuring out who they were, what were their strengths, what did they have to improve on, and so forth. The last two games, you can see they're clicking. They're clicking on offense. They're clicking on defense. Defensively, it's the same old helter-skelter come at you from all over the place. On offense, very precision with their quarterback Day, who played against us in 19. He's a fifth-year senior. He's in command of everything. Strong in both areas of running the ball and passing the ball. Use a lot of different people, different formations, different personnel, but they execute in each one of them there. So we'll have to be very disciplined on defense, and on offense we're going to have to be able to not get all big-eyed with all the things that's going on and be very focused on how we're attacking them.
You know, in a perfect world, is your offense part of your defense?
Oh, it is, because if you can keep your opponent off the field as for as long as you can, that helps the defense. And so those sustained drives, again, that we talked about for Drake, we got to continue to do that to help us win a football game.
Kyle and Nathan, last time we had you on, you guys were, you know, you would have spent this week acting like Marist. But so now you're on the other side of the ball and you're prepping for that opponent. But let's talk about the guys that are helping you get ready. Kyle, the guys that are on the Dayton defensive scout team, but they've been giving you a pretty good look this year?
Yeah, absolutely. They bring the energy to practice every day. A handful of guys, especially in the secondary, who I'm primarily going against, they bring good energy and they do a good job looking at the card and giving us a good look. And I think that's a big part of why we've had success this year, especially more so in the past 3 weeks.
Now, Nathan, you were on that side of the ball, that scout team side of the ball. Now you're prepping now. If you ever saw a scout team guy, maybe not give it everything he had, would you pull him aside and very quietly remind him of his responsibilities?
Oh, yeah. There's been a couple times where guys are blocking you. They're not giving a full look or, like, running around. And you're just like, oh, come on. Like, let's get going.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, and I got to think that that's got to mean more to them than even having a coach get up them, because you've been there. You've done that, and you could say, hey, you know, look where I'm now because I did it right when I was in your shoes.
Yep. And Larry, we've always talked about that scout team is to help them get better also. Give them reps. It may not be exactly the scheme that we're running offensively or defensively, but the skills are still the same. Whether you're an offensive lineman, defensive lineman, a wide receiver running routes, you're still working on those skills to get better through the fall there so that when we get to next spring, you're a better football player than you were in August.
Well, the experience of the scout team is certainly paying off this season. Case in point, the two guys who are with us here tonight, Kyle Hazel and Nate Arthur, and coaches, you get ready for this showdown on Saturday. You know, coming off a very good performance, so you don't have to, I guess, build anyone's spirits back up or soothe any wounded egos. What are you doing this week to get the guys ready?
What we're doing is just building upon the positives that came out of that game, showing them that, hey, this can be done. You as a player can perform at this level all the time. And so we're going to be very focused again on what we have to do to defeat Marist. And our players know this is a very special week. Not only is it a conference game, but it's also a reunion game.
Got
the reunion, got the alums coming in, all of former football players that have played over the years, but especially that 1980 team who didn't get their 40th anniversary last year, and the 1991 national runner-up team. That's the 30th anniversary. So our players, they're excited to get out on the field and show what the 2021 team is like for Dayton.
All right, and they'll get to do just that come Saturday. And again, I don't want to belabor it, but I want to remind you, it's a noon kickoff, not 1 o'clock as originally scheduled. So a noon kickoff, Mike Kelly and I with pregame coverage starting for you Saturday morning, 11:30. And then we're back here next Monday night. We'll recap it all on another edition of the Rick Chamberlain Show. On behalf of our engineer producer tonight, Alex Schilling, our student athletes, Kyle Hazel and Nathan Arthur, and of course, the coach, Rick Chamberlain. I'm Larry Hanskin. Have a great week, everyone, and go Flyers.
WHIO Dayton, WHIO FM Pleasant Hill, a Cox Media Group station. Powered by Back to Business IT. Take care of your business. We'll take care of your IT.